Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Hey, look at that, in our center studio. We have Cynthia Hausmunter. Cynthia, good morning.
Here all alone, and Day has gone off to warmer climates for the week.
Well, she's Who can blame her?
What a smart woman.
That was.
Now, with any luck at all on the line two here, we have Janet. Janet, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Sometimes this line doesn't work.
Oh.
It worked this morning, and that's all that matters.
That's right. One step at a time.
So I'd like to throw in, as long as we were talking about physical therapy and gyms, is that we have our health and wellness special section coming up, and we have a listing of area gyms, and some of them are actually owned by physical therapists, and actually maybe we'll actually note that in our listing.
And I should say, as a note, I saw Cynthia the other day when I was with my physical therapist.
Yeah, we all hang out of gear now. It's the place. Remember when we used to all meet up at the bar? Those days are done.
I think it would just, Ace is the place with the
Andy Hardware Store. Yeah.
Whenever I go to a gear from a physical therapy, I always remember sitting with my mother when she was a gear, and she was sitting in the hallway saying, look at all these old people. And I say, Mom, you are one of these old people.
Yeah, that's
now
us.
Now it's us.
We're all in there trying so hard to look the youngest person in the room.
I know.
I don't really
more to the point, that Cynthia, we know, skates and does things and moves. Right. Marshall, not so much.
I move when I have to. Okay, it is time to look at the front page. Speaking about moving, tomorrow the Housatonic girls basketball team is going to play another step in their quest for the state championships. And if they win, this is the exciting part, on the 16th and 17th, they'll be playing in the Mohican Sun Arena.
Didn't they play last night?
No, I think it was, I think it's tonight is when it's coming up.
Oh.
That's what it says on the CIAC schedule. Now, okay. It could be wrong because it's the state.
Yeah, I think,
Tuesday night they played, but
They were snowed out though earlier in the week and stuff like that. So, but while we're doing this, I'll scan. But I've got it on the CIAC site.
Yeah, but so a great story of this year. When you see photos of these young athletes, we've had them by Tom Brown and Savage Rees, who are both fantastic, amazing photographers and generous to us with their work. The determination on the faces of these young ladies, unbelievable. Don't get in their way, and they've been playing great, and we're so proud of them.
It's an amazing feat what they're doing. We're such a small school.
Right.
That makes it even more impressive.
Yeah. And in this day and age, I'd say some of the outstanding teams at Housatonic tend to be the female athletes.
Hey. It's like in basketball. When you think of great basketball, you think of the UConn women.
That's right.
True.
And the soccer team.
Give a shout out to the hockey team, too, who had a great season, too, and won the Berkshire Cup.
So,
swim team, I think, has done surprisingly well, too.
So there we go.
A great year at Housatonic.
Well, how about, and then the hockey team, which is a combined hockey team, is championship this year as well.
That's
Janet just said.
So, all right. We go from basketball to helping immigrants.
So, a compassionate local group, including the Reverend John Carter, who was formerly at the St. John's Church in Salisbury and has spent a lot of his time down in South America, Central America, learning Spanish, learning about the cultures, and then making the doors very open and the church very welcoming to some of our Latino immigrants here. He and Carol Asher have put together a seminar on Saturday, April 6th in the afternoon at Trinity Lime Rock, and it's about immigration and how we want to make our community safer and more welcoming for people who are coming here and seeking a second chance. And a really nice interview with Reverend Carter by Lila Hawken.
All right, and I will update you. Housatonic did lose to Trinity Catholic
on Tuesday.
And if you're going to lose to a
powerhouse team, but they're continuing, or.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's once you lose,
you know.
That's what we thought. So we do have that up on our website, actually, the update on that game on Tuesday night.
Yeah. If you lose to a team, it might as well be Trinity Catholic.
Yeah,
all right.
But a great run, nonetheless.
Yeah, unbelievable. The construction is going to begin on the transfer station.
This is our big story of the week, even though it's a short story. But when I started at the Lakeville Journal in 1999, I was covering the concerns about the transfer station and where was it going to go. And they spent years and years and years trying to find a new site. Then they found the new site, and then the drawings came up, and then there were setbacks and da-da-da. So it's a big deal that construction is actually going to begin. It's one of those things where you think, wow, I didn't know that was actually going to happen.
You've got to go back to some of the videos when this was first voted on and done. And I remember sitting there and hearing Curtis give a timeline. And I said to myself, man,
yeah,
I'll believe it when I see it, because things like this are always tougher than you think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, whenever you're dealing with trash, it's not an easy subject.
Well, you know, that's the thing with democracy. It's pokey.
It's ugly, but it's great the way it works. All right, another story here. Listen to the landscape before doing a design.
So there's certain inescapable signs of spring. One is the advent of maple sap. One is the annual Mad Gardeners Gardening Symposium at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, which was held this year on March 2nd. Sometimes they have very, very famous gardeners and landscapers coming, and this year they had Helen Demos, who's a residential landscape designer, and a couple of other speakers, and a lot of vendors, of course, and just sort of talking about offering tips as people are beginning to think about their gardens for the coming season. And we also have a story on A2 by Jana Siller about the Northwest Conservation District, which has really the signature springtime plant event, which is coming up April 26th to the 28th in the Goshen Fairground. And that is when you not only have a chance to buy at discount healthy plants that are zoned for our area, but also have a chance to talk to master gardeners who are just wandering around with nothing to do and would love to answer your questions.
This is also the time of the year when you raise your eyebrow and say, it's not that long for Women's Support Services gardening event.
That's right. That's coming up in May.
Yeah. That's that far away at this time.
Yeah. And that is, I actually always say Trade Secrets is the actual official last day of spring because the weather always is terrible that day and then it's great the day after.
It's not always terrible, but it's significantly terrible.
Yeah. Statistically, there's a high percentage. But yes, that's coming up in mid-May.
All right. Bernie Drew and Telling the Family Story.
So Bernie is, I don't know if people, I always say this and I don't know if people listen. Bernie Drew is a very respected historian in addition to being just the loveliest person you've ever met and has so many interesting quirks and eccentric interests. But one thing he's very interested in is the history of W.E.B. Du Bois, who is a native of Great Barrington. And so I think it's a great-grandson of W.E.B. Du Bois was in town. And, you know, people people who are involved in the W.E.B. Du Bois life history, when they come to town, they call Bernie. So he had the opportunity to have a dinner with him and reports on it here in this column. It's very interesting, living history.
And a story that's very pertinent for the times that we live in today in Kent, fighting for safety and liberation involving LGBTQ.
Elise Sattler, who's a youngish reporter on our staff, lives in Kent and felt very strongly and is a teacher. And she wanted to cover this talk by a very well-known guy named Kevin Jennings about the LGBTQ community and lifestyle. And it was a very, she said it was an incredibly inspiring talk. Elise, who's married, and, you know, just felt that it opened the door for so many people to sort of be comfortable with who they are and to also remind the rest of us in the community that we have an obligation to welcome these people and help them through their choices.
All right, and you know, when I opened it up and looked at A2 and A3, the things that popped out to me, and I got to mention this, is that the corned beef dinner season is here. The Sharon Legion is having theirs this weekend on March 9th, and then the Lakeville Hose Company has theirs next weekend on March 16th, and there's lots and lows in between.
Yeah.
It's the season.
I was driving down a street in Red Hook, and there was just a sign that said, corned beef and cabbage today, and you look down the street, and it was just all houses, and I was like, it's just a general announcement, an invitation, or?
Just knock on any door, and you'll find them, because it's on sale at the store, too.
You can always smell it, yeah.
All right, then you've got a lot of stories on Hats Off to Reading Fund, Read Aloud Day, and Tell Me a Story.
So we used to have all of the Read Aloud Days would all be on one day, which, of course, is organizationally very difficult for us to cover, but we had Read Aloud Days, I think, 2 weeks ago while I was out of town on February 14th at most of the schools, but then some of the other schools organized their Read Aloud Days around Read Across America Day and Dr. Seuss Day. So we have Salisbury Central School, a combined event at Lee Kellogg in Cornwall, Kent Center School, and Sharon Center School all had their events last weekend. It's nice for kids to come in and really be reminded that reading on paper is fun.
All right, and we also know it's going to be springtime by going on the next page, A4. Paley's Market is opening March 30th.
Yes, another harbinger spring. And this is really one of the big stories of this week, which is Charlie Paley has been running this business literally since he was a teenager. And there are moments when he just can't do it anymore. He took a year off a couple years ago and came back so revitalized and with such good humor. And this, the stand was great. The plants were great. But he was starting to feel a little run down again. And so his sister, Sarah, stepped in. And Sarah has worked with Charlie literally since she was about 10 years old when he was growing corn in a little property near their house. And she was selling it over next to the post office, or next to the Good Neighbors building, I guess. And so she and her husband, Chris Kuhn, the loveliest guy, Chris grew up on in a farming family in Armenia and is super talented at fixing machines, which, as anybody knows who farms, you're only as good as your tractor, and those things are always breaking down. So they'll be there with Charlie. Charlie will still be running the plants. He'll still be there as a presence all the time, but bigger and better than ever, all three of them.
All right. Now, you've got a story here out of Cornwall, air quality monitor approved. And a little side note I want to give you. Yesterday with the Sharon Conservation Commission, we've agreed they will hang an air quality monitor here on this building.
Good.
I think it goes along with Cornwall. They're going to ask Salisbury, all the towns around, to join in on the monitoring of the air.
It's going to be really good data. So the way that this all started was the Cricket Valley Energy Center down in Dover is going to be coming online pretty soon. And it's a gas-fired electric plant. And it's supposed to be the cleanest plant ever built on planet Earth. But there's still concerns about the air quality because it is, you know, it's an electric plant. So there's going to be some particles that get out into the air. So people in the towns that are closest to it have been very concerned about it. That's specifically Kent and Sherman and New Milford. And had decided that they wanted to get air quality monitors. So the state has one of its state-of-the-art, you know, really big, fancy air quality monitors up on Mohawk Mountain. But people feel that because the microclimates here, where you're like, you're at the top of a mountain, you're at the bottom of a mountain, that they wanted to have a multitude of air quality monitors scattered around the area. And so different organizations are coming together to help buy them. I think Kent School has got one that they're going to be using also for teaching purposes. They're going to have another one in Cornwall. And, you know, the more that you have, the better you can sort of triangulate that data. And so what they want to do is get these things online as fast as possible so they have a baseline. And I think it'll be very interesting to see just what quality our air is, and it'll be fascinating to see what impact the power plant has. And of course, we'll all hope that it has a very moderate or minimal impact, but at least now we can see.
And when I did some investigating after the Conservation Commission came in Cornwall, the air monitoring system, cost anywhere between $250,000 and $300,000. That is a super, super, super. The towns are getting ones that cost between $4,000 and $5,000, which are great quality air monitors. They don't just do as much as this big, super sophisticated one that's on Mohawk Mountain.
But it all adds up.
It all adds up. The data all adds up to go to that. So,
and of course, having lived in Southern California in the early 80s, you can tell when the air is bad. You can see it, and you can smell it, and you can taste it.
All right, now I do have to vote in the interest that the voters okay lease agreement at a special town meeting. There were three people there.
So yeah. Well, that's good.
We got unanimous approval, okay. but I just want people to know there's you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and here, so what they did was they voted to approve WHDD, Tri-Corner Communications, Tri-State Communications, yeah. Which is us here at this moment, to remain in this building. And I believe that your lease goes toward the cost of maintenance for the building.
That's exactly right. And over the past couple of years, they were able to put a new roof on this building. They were able to once again repaint it. Absolutely, for the first time ever. I don't know if you can feel the difference. They insulated the whole building, and the building is much warmer in the winter. They put a new furnace in. Yes, they're keeping the building maintained with what we do.
Next year, we work on the ice in the parking lot.
Well, the parking lot out back is there's a lot of things that are going on in Sharon that are preventing that from being done, and that mainly is the cost of what's going to go on the green in the course of the next 2 years. But anyways, with that being said,
park on the green.
That's it. warming up with a Showtown in colder months. I just did the interview with Lloyd Baruti today.
They're so passionate about it. Oh. Lloyd and Zaina, who are very passionate people. Lloyd is just, they're both of them. They're so interesting and lovely to talk to, and have been very involved in helping our immigrant families from Syria. In Salisbury, and Zaina, who is Lebanese, had been helping as a translator and helping those people get settled in and find work, and just really great people. And they decided that, and you know, they have a fun side too. And they decided there's not enough fun here in winter, so even though we're moving toward the summer months, they wanted to try and get some of the shows that were happening in the area and just get them to come over and do like a satellite show here. So they've got Race coming up, the David Mamet play. Their organization is called Showtown. It's kind of a pop-up thing. And I think their first production is March 21st, 22nd. So read the article for details.
It's at the Seaford Theater. You can go to showtown.org.
At the Salisbury School.
In the wintertime now, we have Aglet Theater Company, the Salisbury Sinfonietta, we have Hotchkiss School, and now Showtown. There is going to be plenty of entertainment from now on in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah.
And Sharon Playhouse has been doing
different events as well.
Amazing Movie House.
Because it used to go dark, basically, in the wintertime here, and it's no longer dark.
Right, for the interior. Certainly lots of recreation outdoors around here, but
outdoors in the wintertime? Okay.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Some people like it.
Country skiing.
So many of my friends say, what are you talking about? I love it when it snows.
Yeah.
That's what they like to say to me.
Lots of our listeners, I'm sure, feel that way, and it's great.
Yeah. All right. Eccentric Etiquette Among the Elite.
Alexander Wilburn went to one of the Era of Elegance talks in Salisbury, an ongoing series of always interesting talks about just, you know, this is such a historic area, and I think so many of us come up here seeking another time travel to another world and another life. And so this one was about, a lot of it was about young unmarrieds and young marrieds in Victorian times and whether they were allowed to sit near each other at dinner parties and things like that. I always thought, he was saying, you know, they didn't want to have married young couples sitting near each other at a dinner party because they were afraid that the sparks would be too bright. But I always thought that that the rule was you're allowed to sit next to each other when you're engaged, and I think in the first year of your marriage, but then after that you have to be separated because, you know, it's nice when you can talk to somebody besides your spouse.
All right. Now, Cynthia, we'll give you the page because food for health, warming winter foods, and your yin and yang balance.
You know, there used to be this wonderful a traditional Chinese medicine woman in town whose name was, I think it was Melanie. And one time I talked to her in winter, and she said, you know, the body wants certain types of foods because they either raise your internal body heat or they lower it. So in winter, I think, you know, Asians always love those red bean foods. So she said, you know, the best thing in winter is like a red kidney bean soup. It really warms you up. And a lot of it is about your kidneys and warming up your kidneys. So I was feeling extra chilly one day, and so was looking up warming winter foods and also cooling summer foods. So this is sort of a mini explanation, not from an expert, about different foods for the season. But radishes, I love radishes, and they're warming, I think. Or maybe they're cooling. I can't remember. I wrote this a few weeks ago. But,
but that's why everybody has to read it.
You have to read it. I'll have to read it, too. But I do love radishes. And, you know, you can go to stores now, and they often have, you know, it used to be you get the bunch with the greens on top, which is great when they're fresh. But radishes last longer than the greens do. So often you can go now, and you can get, like, a very inexpensive packet of pre-sort of trimmed radishes. And they're wonderful roasted and sautéed.
All right. Now, you've got a couple of stories by Patrick Sullivan about a healthier sleep cycle and managing chronic pain without opioids.
And I think that we're going to continue this theme in next week's paper, which is Patrick had gone to these two talks, but I also had done two articles on similar topics. So Patrick went to a talk at the Scoville Library February 9th. We've been holding this for a little while, just with some tips on how to have a healthy sleep cycle, how to have good sleep hygiene, I think is what they call it. And it just felt like a few weeks ago, it felt like everybody I knew was saying they were having trouble sleeping. And I've been having an incredible amount of trouble sleeping. So I had done a bunch of research on it. My research is different than Patrick's, it's just actually from an expert. So really good tips in here if you've been having trouble sleeping. And I think, you know, my daughter is one of those people who just doesn't do well in spring. There's just too much excitement and energy, you know, the plants coming up and the baby animals being born. And people do say there's something about spring. There's a funny energy that comes up. And even though it's not spring yet, there is that beginning of the longer days, the brighter light. And it does seem to interrupt some of your circadian rhythms, I guess it is. And then, so I've got a story next week on Mike Mangini at Gear and something he does called dry needling. And Patrick also has a story about a talk that was done at Noble Horizons. And more as, you know, we see the damage that's being done by opioids, these two talks really focused on the fact that opioids really are helpful when you've had an injury or surgery in the first, I think, 3 months after after that incident, after the trauma to your body. But then after that, they need to stop because they're not doing anything except really beginning to addict you. And that then you need to look at other ways to manage your pain. And some of it is in your brain. So that, like the dry needling that we're going to talk about in next week's paper, if we have a health page, will be is about retraining your brain to not be so overprotective of a damaged area. And Patrick has other options and programs that are offered at Noble, but also a really good explanation from Patrick on chronic pain and opioids and what they do to your body.
All right. I want to move over and go to the editorial page. A couple of different editorials. One on thanking our representative and the 21st century one, 25 years old.
Yes, it's exciting. Representative Hayes gave her first floor speech at the U.S. House of Representatives last week, and it was on the gun legislation that passed through the House and has gone to the Senate. So we write about that. And the 21st Century Fund of Housatonic Valley Regional High School, which the idea was put across by Jack Mahoney, a former principal, the late Jack Mahoney, very beloved, who came up with the idea of this fund. It's their 25th anniversary. Do read this. Read Patrick's story last week. Keep track of them. It's a big year for them. We have Ralph Nader.
Great column. Great column.
Isn't it great? On unleashed graphic designers. Okay. So don't miss that. It's fascinating.
I love his last paragraph in that. Of all the preventable conditions coursing across this tormented earth, this is one we should be able to remedy. It's time to restore some level of visual sanity. Don't editors think print readers are an endangered species? One would think.
Right. Why not listen? We all read this. Everybody should read this who has anything to do with creating visuals anywhere, online, and, make them readable, because for Pete's sake, readers are an endangered species. We have Dick Ollis on debates actually being TV performances, Dick Bell on the two-party system, Peter Riva on society at a turning point, and Chris Powell on Trump's border wall.
I like the Steiner comic again. They freed the slaves. They gave them the vote. They gave women the vote. Created national parks. They created Social Security. Then Medicare. Now they want universal health care. When will all this socialism to finally end?
Right, and the real impact is the visual. You know, who is saying this in what environment? So take a look at that. It's very, very good cartoon.
All right, we have about a minute and a half left here for you, Cynthia.
I'm throwing it over to Janet.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. And it's Compass. We have a wonderful piece on the exhibit of the art and wit of Rube Goldberg up at the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Mass. Crazy inventions by a smart guy. I had not focused on the fact he was also a cartoonist and in newspapers for his whole career. And just what a character. So do look at that. We have Aglet Theater coming up with a performance on Saturday. Two of them at 2 and 7:30 p.m., A Walk in the Woods. We have Race. This is the play that Cynthia was just talking about, too, that Showtown is going to bring into Salisbury. It's now at Theater Works in New Milford through March 16th and coming up to Salisbury School March 22nd and 23rd. Really powerful. Do read this by C.B. Wismar, the review of it. And we have The Garden for All Seasons by Cynthia Kling. What do we all want to do now? Think about being able to get outside when it's a little warmer. That would be nice. And The Garden is a great way to do it. This is a book by Tova Martin called The Garden in Every Season and Sense and Season. And Alex and Cynthia, I'm sorry, interviews her, and it's fascinating and very relaxing, de-stressing to read about. You know, what to do in the garden, even in winter, but all seasons.
All right. That's just some of what's in the journal. Of course, the Lakeville Journal is available online, tricornernews.com, also on Facebook. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. And as I said, everything that we do is available online. You can find this at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.